might not know this, but the word amen is it loosely means so be it. It's an agreement. But Jesus also, when you read the Bible, especially if you read it in in the King James, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Some translations will say, "Truly, truly, I say to you." The word that's translated there actually is amen. It's the truth. It's an agreement with the truth and what it is. So when we say those words, we are agreeing with what has just been said and what has been spoken over us. So I pray the blessings of God upon you. Amen. Yeah? How are we all doing today? Good. Me too. Me too. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful job. Because you did, you just took us right in there. Turn to Colossians, because we are in a series on Colossians. I know last week, yes, I was in a series on Colossians. We started in John, but this week we're in we're starting in Colossians, and we'll play around in John and Ephesians and Matthew and 2 Peter, the Corinthians. You know me. I like to go around the Bible because I think that the Bible needs to prove the Bible. I don't want my words to try to prove the Bible. I want the Bible to prove the Bible. So, Colossians chapter 1. And hopefully one of these days we'll actually get out of Colossians chapter 1 and maybe move to Colossians chapter 2 or skip over it, just because why not? We won't. We'll do Colossians 2 as well, trust me. Colossians 1, chapter or verse 21. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Those are your promises for now, that you are holy, blameless, and above reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So he was made a minister of the hope of the gospel. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now my translation says, of this church I was made a minister. Yours might say, of which I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. And let's continue into chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that our hearts be open to receive from you today, and may we grow in you, complete in Christ. Amen. Verse 25, Paul says, in some of your translations it says, of which I was made a minister. In others it says, of this church I have been made a minister. He's referring to the body of Christ, but he's also referring directly to the Colossians and their church, that he was made a minister. And I stand before you today and say, I was made a minister of Manning Family Worship Center, of this church. And I've told you in the past, we could be meeting in a barn, we could be meeting in a trash can. And I was called to be the minister of this church. And here I am. Thursday was 16 years that I've been a minister of this church. And we're continuing on that. And it's not, I'm not trying to break my father's record, but one more year. Sorry. When I was growing up, we moved around a lot. And I truly wanted for my kids stability. Not that I didn't have a stable house. Like, the household I grew up in was stable, but my growing up years, I would say, was unstable. And so I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to give my kids that stability for the years that they've had so far. And I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon, but I also leave that up to God. But the mention of me being the minister of this church, it brings into question, what is the purpose of this church? And what is the purpose of the people of this church? And what is the purpose of the leaders of this church? And we're going to go through that a bit today. Now, you can list a lot of things that we do. And, we worship God. We are in the community. We do different things for the community. We do different things for ourselves. The things that we do. But the purpose of the church, and the purpose of the church worldwide, is that it is a place, a gathering place, a place of worship, an assembly, where Christians come to grow and to mature. That is the purpose of the church. Now, in days past, I don't know about this church, but I know of a lot of churches, their goal was that's where they make Christians, where evangelism occurs. They'd have a lot of altar calls and people would get saved in church, and that's all good to an extent, but really the purpose of the church is to grow and mature Christians who go out into the world and evangelize and bring in more Christians to grow and mature. That's where the purpose is, and we'll get into the scriptures in a little bit here. So then, if the church is the place for that, then what is the place, what is the purpose of Christians? Well, first of all, it's to grow and to mature. That's our purpose in life, is to grow and to mature in Christ. And I can turn you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you'd have to go back through 1 through 7 to understand what those qualities are, and we did do a series on that a few years ago. But it's important to know that that's what our what it is for our goal, is that we ever increase in our knowledge of God and who He is and who we are. And also, the purpose of Christians is to pass on what is learned. In other words, to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples." It doesn't say make new converts. It says make disciples. What's a disciple? Well, Christ looked at His disciples and He taught them how to carry on His ministry. What He was taught to do, what He was doing, He was teaching His disciples to do. It wasn't just making more converts. It was teaching them. That's why the Sermon on the Mount, I always get intrigued by the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, because we assume, and there probably was a crowd there, but we assume there was a huge crowd. But it, and that says that in Matthew chapter 6, or Matthew chapter 5, the first couple verses, but then it says, "And He took His disciples up on the mountain and taught them." And then's the Sermon on the Mount. And so that whole purpose of that Sermon on the Mount is to teach disciples how to be like Christ. And so that's our purpose as Christians, is to make disciples, make people who do the same things, do carry on the ministry. And so what is the purpose of the leaders of the church? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, and we have talked about this many times, verses 11 to 13, says, "And He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." So the purpose of the leaders of the church, the ones who teach, the ones who are here, is to equip the people, the saints, for the work of the ministry. But it's also the way that we mature. It's that whole thing, until we all attain the unity of faith, and we attain it to the maturity which is measured by the fullness of Christ. And so our goal here as the leaders of the church, anybody who stands in this position to teach, it's their goal to have you mature in Christ, to become more. It's to facilitate the growth and maturity of Christians. It's to train and educate Christians on the things of God, and it's to be an example of growth and maturity. I've heard it said many times, you can't lead anybody properly to a place you've never been yourself. And so the things that I teach you mostly are because I've tried getting there, or I've gone there, I've been on that path for a while. I can't say that I have attained it all the time, like the things that I talk about, but I try. I definitely am looking at it and endeavoring to be that, what I'm talking about. Because we're in this walk together. It's so hard to go on a walk and you're the only one walking. Especially when you're supposed to be in a group. And so it's difficult to all of a sudden go so far ahead and then look back and say, oh no, and wander back. Okay, now let's go. So it's difficult just because I've already seen that. But now it's like, okay, now I got to get others so they can see the same thing. And it's going through that walk. So that's the purpose. Now the method. Our method of doing this varies quite regularly. Now the one mainstay we've had is that Sunday mornings we have teaching, prayer, gathering together, to corporately worship, and here we are on a Sunday morning. At one time it was at 11, and now it's at 10:30. At some different times of the history of the church, we've had Sunday school, we've had children's church, we've had different things that go on, but Sunday morning, 10:30, we gather corporately to worship. And that is one place where this is done. But I can honestly say to you that really this is not the place for discipling in the group context. It's hard to disciple more than a few people at one time. And so that's one of those things of, okay, how do you do this? And because in this setting, when there are questions, they don't usually get voiced. They don't get an opportunity to be answered. So I was supposed to have gotten this and I forgot to. I'm going to get this and bring it over. I'll just put it here. Is that okay? Then I don't have to lift it. Is that all right with everyone? Good, because I'm not going to lift it anyways. So, on Sunday morning, I preach the word. That looks too musical, so we're going to put waves in this. So it's a river that's going along, and I'm preaching the word of God. And as I preach this, I've shared this with you before. As I'm preaching, all of a sudden, this goes over a cliff. And in the middle here, there's a little bit of a outcropping of rocks. And there's more. And then there's a pool down here. I am not an artist. I'm a musician and a preacher. This goes down for a long time. This is just a cliff. And so what happens on a Sunday morning is I preach the word of God. So this is the word. And when you hear it, you have the opportunity to choose which side of this you go on. Because there's depths to the word that none of us will ever reach. And so you can all of a sudden just take that depth to this spot, or it can go as far as you would ever want it to. You can come to my office sometime and look on the north wall, and I have a painting that represents this that's a lot better than that. And this all comes to you from Ezekiel chapter 47. I'll read it. He brought me back to the door of the house, and that word house can be translated as temple. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the temple, toward the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the temple, from south of the altar. He brought me out of the way of the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east, and behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching the ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in a river that could not be forded. Now, this is just a representation of the river that flows from the temple of God. If you go into Revelation, you'll see that. It talks about it as well, that it's flowing right from the throne room. And this river, it can be different depths. Now, every place that this guy went, when Ezekiel was going, he had the choice. Do I go forward with this guy or do I just stay here? And it's the same concept when it comes to the Word of God. We can take it to the depths, or we can take it to just the one area. And this whole thing is a representation that you get to that area and you stay there, not venturing out of that pool. Why? Because that pool, you know where it ends. You know what it is. It's safe. It's comfortable. Except for the fact that water is pouring out over you, but hey, that's a shower. But it's a safe spot. Going to a spot where you have no idea where the depths end, I tell you, just a few weeks ago, I was on the ocean, and when you're close to shore, with your feet on the ground, other than waves tossing you back and forth, it's secure. You go out into the depths and look down and see multitudes of fish, knowing that there are bigger fish, knowing that those bigger fish have bigger fish, and knowing that those bigger fish have bigger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not really knowing what's in that depth, it's a little uneasy. Unless you know how to swim. So the purpose of the church is teaching us how to swim so that we can reach those depths. Now, also in this, and you're going to have to just excuse the artistry of this man, but you have a church. And these are the doors, and this is the steeple, and you open the doors, and there's all the people, you know. It also looks like a face, but that's just me. Out of this, you have streams of water flowing. You have a small stream. You have a medium flow. And you have floodwaters. Now, this vision was given to me by someone from this church of what can happen. The big thing is, and this is the outcome. So you have the word, you have the outcome. When it comes to all of this, everybody has a choice of how deep they want to go, how wide they want to go, and what they do with what they get. When it comes to the outcomes, you have an option of allowing the water that's been in you, the water of the Word, the water that washes you with the Word. You have the outcome can be just a little bit, you know, here and there, little things. It can be a medium flow where all of a sudden it's like, you know what, there's a little bit more action here in regards to what you have and what you give. And then you could have the floodwaters, an outcome, what you do with what you get. So what we are wanting to do here is give another opportunity for depth. In the past, we've had evening services, Sunday evening services. We called them deeper at one time. And we've done different things at those deeper services. We've had Wednesday night Bible studies, Wednesday night prayer times, and little studies and stuff like that. And so we're wanting to do something again. So that's what the purpose for this next little bit is, to describe that a little bit. And the first way that I'd like to offer is what I just labeled here personal study. And that's that Terrell and I are offering our services. I can't speak for the other leaders of the church. I can only speak about him and myself at this point. And so what happens in this is that in the reading of your Bible, throughout the week or whenever, if all of a sudden questions come to you, come in and see us. Write those questions down. Come see us, and we can help. We might not know the answer at that time, but we can definitely, we have the tools, we have the resources to study it out, and we will help you to figure it out and what it means. The other thing that we could do in regards to this personal study, if anybody was so wanting, is that we actually give out to individuals, a portion of Scripture, just a few verses, And we say, hey, why don't you read on this, meditate on it, and then come back and we can talk about it. This is what discipleship is. It's sitting down more than just in a group setting and discussing it. I know some of you already do this type of thing with others in this church, and that's perfectly fine. I'm just telling you officially, because I've talked about it many times in the past, but officially, I'm opening that door. Come in and talk to us. The second thing that I'd like to offer, other than personal study, is that we would like to start having Sunday evening services again. I'm going to start next Sunday at 7 o'clock, right here. We're going to have I don't want to call it a service, though, because a service connotates a lot of things. It connotates this what we're doing today, and we're wanting to possibly switch it up. I don't want to come expecting that it's going to be just another service. It's possible that each one would be different. So what I'd like to see in those that we've felt led on this, and this has been developing probably, I'd say, since at least May, if not before, that we've been discussing this. So the opportunities for Bible reflection and meditation, for a teaching, either from in-house, from somebody in here, or from others, from outside sources. There could be discipleship, where we actually have a Bible study, and we delve into things. There's also discipleship of how to operate in the giftings of the Holy Spirit. So I know there's a lot of people that have misgivings or misguidance or not an understanding of the prophetic, and we could open up the doors for how that works and different things. There's evangelism that could possibly come out of this. There's teaching that could come out of this from everybody. So many different aspects. Of course, prayer being a part of it. And then I've already talked about this, but utilizing the fivefold gifts, which is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The biggest thing is we are looking for dedicated people who are hungry for more. It's not just a place to hang out. This is where it becomes difficult, because you want it to be an open invitation. But at the same time, if it's going to be discipleship, there needs to be commitment. Terrell and I are committing ourselves to this. And it would be nice to know from week to week that people are going to be there. So we're looking for dedicated people who are hungry for more. It doesn't mean that every single that you have to call us and say, hey, we're not going to be there. We do appreciate that. And if you do miss one or two, it's not a big deal. But there is a dedication that should be needed in order to grow in this aspect of it. There's the Sunday mornings, you know, it's completely open. It's always going to be similar. The Sunday evenings, we don't know. Sunday evenings, there's a possibility that everyone that is there could talk, because we want it to be interactive. We don't want to have spectators, we want to have participants. I'm not saying that you'd be preaching, I'm just saying that we would want people to talk, to participate. But then the biggest thing is that it needs to be an openness to be challenged. As I talked about at the beginning, that there is an aspect to growth that sometimes makes it uncomfortable. And there are things within this word that are uncomfortable. Jesus spoke about eating him. He who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood. And then all of a sudden people left him. And it happened throughout his ministry that people left. Dedicated means that this would be a priority, not one of those, and this is a a habit I don't know of people in this society today is, well, I'll be there unless something else comes up. Guess what? Something else will always come up. I've talked to many people, and I've even talked, you know, there's people who live a distance away from the church. And they've told me straight out that they don't like traveling in multiple times, even throughout the week, because of the distance. But then you see them here five times a week, doing other things. Why? And I'm not, it's not a talk down of them. It's just the fact that there was a different priority. When we make something a priority, it is a priority. And we will do that because it's a priority in our lives. So that's what I'm saying when I'd like to see people make it a priority, a dedication. And the goal, of course, is growth and maturity. The openness to being deeper, to being challenged, it is a choice. And why do I say that? Well, you know what? We all have beliefs, and all of our beliefs are founded in the Word, right? But there are some of those beliefs that there's a deeper truth to. It's not that they're wrong. It's that there might be a deeper truth to it. But sometimes when we talk up here, it's looked at as, oh no, he's telling me that my beliefs are wrong. No, it's a deeper truth. This happened in the scriptures as well. If you look in I lost it now. It's in the book of Acts. And Apollos is preaching. And he comes and he talks to Aquila and Priscilla. And they're talking about the Holy Spirit. And it says that they taught Apollos a better way, a deeper way. It was something more. It wasn't that he was wrong. It was that there was more to it. And so when we are going into these things, it might not happen all the time, but it might happen. And there has to be an openness, a willingness to be challenged, to look at the scriptures with what the scriptures say. It's because a lot of times, and I found this in my own self, and you can find examples in the Bible as well, that our beliefs can actually hide us from the deeper truth. And if we latch onto those beliefs really strongly, then sometimes we might not actually get that deeper truth. It's not that we're wrong, just that there could be growth and maturity in more ways. So with this, I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I should have put another marker in my Bible because I have to find it. In verses 14 to 16. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. And then chapter 11, verse 1, he continues that thought, but adds to it. It says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Some of your versions would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's what our goal is here. Make disciples. That the ministry of this church, of which I am a minister of, will continue. And it will be more than just one person can do. I've noticed that. It's a trend in this in churches worldwide. It's not a one-man show. And sometimes it feels that way. whether from your perspective or mine, and it's the trend is moving away from that. That it's more of a community that is ministering. And we do that to some degree. But the whole goal here is deeper, more mature, more growth. And so next Sunday at 7 o'clock, I don't even know what it's going to look like yet. We'll find out. Throughout this week, I'll be in prayer. Terrell will be in prayer. Hopefully you'll be in prayer. And we'll figure this all out. Okay? I open it to you. If you have questions on anything, or if you are reading and you come up with a question, or if you want me to help you in your Bible study, give us a call. Let's set up a time where we can meet so that we can go through this thing together and we can become the mature people of Christ to the fullness of Christ. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to grow in you. And I pray, God, just as I feel, that it's your Spirit guiding us. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts to develop us. And God, I pray that this be such a thing that we would have to split up and have multiple meetings because of the desire of depth. Go with us, Lord. Guide us as we try to manage in this life. Give us your peace, your love, your grace, and may we walk in you. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. I encourage you, don't just look at this and say, yeah, whatever. But I encourage you, call, text, come in. The coffee can be on in within 3 minutes if it's not already on. We'll see you next week.